Monday morning to you. My name is Dean. I'm the lead pastor here at LifePoint and do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Center campus. And as always, we're grateful for you jumping in and investing in your spiritual life here in these drive casts. I'll say from a personal perspective, last week's Tuesday and Wednesday, more than drive cast, just had a real unique impact on my life personally as I was praying that morning on my way to work. So like I said, thanks for being here. And we wrapped up the Vice and Virtue series this past week, talking about the seventh of the seven deadly sins, or at least as we've counted them, the sin of gluttony. And, honestly, from a teaching pastor perspective, probably the hardest of these messages to teach is because there's a lot of cultural sensitivity around it. You know, for the other seven deadly sins, you know, they're kind of on the inside, right? I mean, you know, when you think about lust or greed, or I mean, those sins are easier to hide. And what we think, it's not true, but what we think is that gluttony is easier to spot because of things like body mass index and things like that. But gluttony is really an overindulgence in food. It's replacing what God does in our lives in critical, crisis, tough moments a lot of times. He's the God of all comfort, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And in that process, the God of all comfort comforts us, and he gives us the comfort, that verse says, to comfort others. But often, food becomes a functional God to us, right? It's the thing that we run to when we feel out of control. We can control what we eat. So with gluttony, we tend to replace heavenly favor with earthly food. But you can't see it. I mean, everybody's body responds differently to food and metabolism and so many things. I mean, some people will binge eat in a crisis and then throw it all up. So you could never see that, right, from the outside. Some people only eat expensive food, right, and they spend themselves into debt over food. So there's all kinds of ways that food can become gluttony and an overindulgence in our lives. We looked at the story of these two brothers, Jacob and Esau, and Esau traded something that was a legacy blessing in his own life. He traded the birthright. The birthright for the oldest boy in their culture would lead to the blessing of getting 2/3 of the inheritance, and the other kids, the other boys, would separate whatever was left. And so everybody kind of acquiesced to the older boy throughout his lifetime. He got all the attaboys and all the affirmation. But Esau gave all of that up because he was hungry one day for a bowl of red lentil soup. He was willing to trade this legacy blessing, this birthright, for indulgence. And the whole family, Isaac and Rebekah, the parents, Jacob and Esau, the brothers, there was just this weird relationship with food. Even when Isaac was on his deathbed, he told Esau, "Hey, go hunt something and cook it up for me the way that I want it, and then I'll give you the blessing before I die." You know, he could have easily called the family together and just given Esau the blessing, but there's this weird relationship with food that comes up over and over again. And so where we kind of landed the message this past week was with two ideas, right? That, you know, Esau's problem, it wasn't that he couldn't control his appetite. His problem was that his appetite controlled him. And so, you know, the New Testament likens Esau's sin to a root of bitterness, or it likens Esau's sin to sexual immorality in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 15 and 16. And so we just said, you know, we really need to do two things when you think about gluttony, like two practical steps. One is fasting and one is feasting. And fasting just raises our spiritual awareness when we deny a common appetite. Jesus is such a great example of this when he fasts for 40 days and the enemy comes and tempts him with bread. And I'm sure hot, warm bread would have tasted great to him in that moment. But instead, Jesus quotes scripture. And so fasting, it raises our spiritual awareness by denying a common appetite. And that's why, you know, we're taking the opportunity this week to, as a church family, to consider fasting on Friday, sun up to sundown. And we'll break the fast at our Good Friday services with communion. It's just a way to raise our spiritual awareness by denying common appetite for those 12 hours. But then the other thing we talked about was feasting. And feasting raises our spiritual awareness by encouraging consistent gratitude. You know, we talked about the reasoning behind why our church fathers for hundreds and hundreds of years have offered prayer before we eat. It's not just something somebody dreamed up. Like, there's biblical precedent in 1 Timothy 4, 3, all the way through 5. It's that we are offering thanksgiving, right, for all of the things that God gives to us. And so we sanctify things. Really, we're sanctifying ourselves in those moments with and through prayer. So I hope today, as we go into today, that those two things, that we are denying yourself in the right moments and that you are living with a sense of gratitude in the right moments and leaning into prayer. So let's do that now, and then I'll give you the opportunity to pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for all of the ways you provide for our lives. And so we just want to say, God, we want to live out of a sense of gratitude today and say to you that we need you. Lord, anything that you say to us that we need to deny, we'll deny, and especially in this Holy Week where you laid down your life for us. As we head into this weekend, God, if we need to deny our reputation and be more bold and invite people to come to church with us this weekend, if we need to dig out things in our lives, things like gluttony, pride, greed, wrath, these other seven deadly sins, God, we want communion on Friday to lead us to repentance. Also, Lord, that you would be glorified. So we lift your name today in our lives. And now you take the opportunity to pray.